Sure does. 25 chapters. I'm going to read from chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter 3, 4, and 5. So I'm going to read three chapters out of the book of Philemon. I'm just kidding you now. Look in verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you about verse 5 there, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. This man here, Philemon, had a servant. He had a slave, and that slave run away from him and ends up with Paul in bonds. And so Paul, he gets saved. Paul leads him to the Lord, and he gets saved. And he writes back to Philemon about his servant, and he tells him to receive him. I notice some things that he tells him about in verse 10. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So he led him to the Lord in his bonds. His name is Onesimus. Now look at this man. Look back in Colossians, and hang on there. Just turn Philemon down, and come back to Colossians chapter 4. And notice in Colossians chapter 4 about this character. He was one of Paul's servants. He helped Paul. Notice in verse 9. He's talking about Tychicus in verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a blood brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. So he was from one of the Colossians. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. In other words, Tychicus and Onesimus, no doubt in my mind, carried the Colossian letter and the Philemon letter at the same time. I believe that Paul, when he wrote Colossians, he sat down and wrote Philemon. And the reason he wrote Philemon is because he's sending Onesimus back with Tychicus, and they're going to carry them letters back to Colossae, and then he was to take that letter to his owner or whatever, Philemon. Now, this man Philemon was a Christian, and so Paul tells him to receive him as a brother. Notice what he says there in verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he's more than a servant now, Philemon. He's your brother. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. So you see Paul's love for this man, and he said that he was a faithful brother, and I imagine he worked with Paul, he helped Paul, he built Paul up, and so Paul's writing back unto Philemon about this servant, but yet I want to talk to you about Philemon. This is a Christian man. This is a brother in Christ. And two things that Paul mentions that it should be mentioned about every person in the body of Christ today. If someone was talking about you, these two things should pop up in the conversation. Look what Paul says again in verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Then his love. There are two things that ought to be spoken about in every Christian's life today, and that's your love and your faith, your love toward the Lord Jesus Christ and one another, and your faith or your walk of faith. It ought to be manifest. Now notice this thing about love. Turn to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now when we talk about love, I'm not talking about Hollywood lust. I'm not talking about honey bunny lovey slobber at the mouth kind of thing. That's not what love is. Love is something that's taught. You realize that? People don't realize that. Before I read in 1 Corinthians, turn to Titus. And I'm sorry for jumping you around that, but look in Titus. It's right back there where it's at. Notice in Titus, in chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4. He's talking about the women. Verse 3, the aged women. Verse 4, that they may teach the younger women to be sober. To what? To love their husbands, to love their children. What are they teaching? Come on, folks. Did he say to teach them? He said that they may teach the young women to be sober, comma, to love their husbands, comma, to love their children. You know, love is taught. People's got the idea that love is all about a feeling. It's not. When Jesus Christ told Paul, or Paul writes it down in Ephesians chapter 5, he says to the husbands, husbands, love your wives. Do you realize that's a command? He didn't say love your wives if you feel like it. Love your wives when you have a feeling. He said love your wives. That's a command. God is not going to tell you to do something that you don't have the ability to do. What is love? Love is action. It's doing. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. You know what true love is? It's giving yourself. It's a husband gives himself to his wife. That's what marriage is. It's a full-grown man giving himself. Actually, it's death. Woman has five letters in it. Five's the number of death. Woman is the death of a man. Folks, ladies, Eve took of that fruit and I gave to her husband. One man said, the woman said, well, where would y'all be without us? Man spoke up and said, we'd still be in the garden enjoying the paradise. No, but don't run me out of here. I'm not saying that about women. Folks, but women, a man gives himself to that woman and he wants her to be happy and he does everything that he can to make her happy. That's love. And the woman in return loves her husband. and is taught to love her husband. She gives herself to him and does everything in her power to make him happy. That's love. Now, I realize that there are feelings in it. There is emotion in it. But love is not an emotion. It's something that is taught. It's something that people do. It's giving thyself. It's alms, charity. You give, you give, you give yourself. And when people don't do that, they don't love one another. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you love the Lord. Your love toward the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be the first thing people talk about you about. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It builds up. Love builds up. Love builds one another up. It doesn't tear things down. Look what he said, verse 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same, his love for God is known of him. There ain't no way you can hide your love for the Lord. If you love the Lord, people's going to know that you love the Lord. Love, giving yourself. Paul told Titus, Philemon, I've heard of your love and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and each other. It's something that is people can't hide. You get around people, you know they love the Lord. Why? You know it by what comes out of their mouth. They make Christ manifest in their life by words. Now, I'm not talking about putting a sign on your back and being a pest, and I'm not talking about telling everybody you're a Christian. If you got to do, that's not what I'm talking about. There is something about people that love the Lord that other people know. We love one another. Turn to Romans and look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Notice what he says there in chapter 13. In chapter 13, Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Do you know what you owe to everybody in this building? You owe it to them to love. You owe it to them, you to love them. You're indebted to them. You need to love one another. How do you? By giving yourself to one another. Let's just go on. Turn with me and notice an example. Look in Luke. Luke chapter 7. Jesus Christ gives it. In Luke chapter 7. Then our love is to the Lord. Our love is to one another. In Luke chapter 7, notice in verse 37. Luke 7, 37. And I beheld a woman, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. All right, this woman is a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "He saith, Master, say on." Now watch it. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Do you know what my take of this, I get out of this, is that love is manifested by works. That's my first point. You realize love is manifested by your works? Turn with me to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Our salvation has nothing to do with works. You didn't earn it, you didn't work to get it, and you can't work to keep it. But you do have works after you're saved. And that one of those works, it ought to be your love, and your works ought to manifest that love that you have to the Savior. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." There's your salvation. You're saved by grace, and it has nothing to do with you. It's the gift of God. "Not of works." You can't work for it. "Lest any man should boast." If you have to do as much as wiggle a little finger, and you can have to wiggle a finger to get God to save you, then you'd go all through eternity telling people how great your little wiggle was. "It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In them what? In the good works. Then it has to do with why you in this walk, your flesh. It has to do with why you on this planet. There are some good works that God ordained for you to walk in. And if you don't know what they are, how you walking in them? Good works, love manifests the works. Now what is the good work? Well, it would be the work of the Lord, wouldn't it? Look at this thing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians. 16:15. I'm going to go back and read verse 9 of 16:9.
For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Then he's doing the work of the Lord. Paul's doing the work of the Lord. Notice in verse 15, I beseech thee, you brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves unto the ministry of the saints. They're ministering to the saints. Love to the Lord, toward each other. Folks, it's a good work. What is the work of the Lord today? Well, I know what the will of the Lord is. God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Then I know what the work of the Lord is. The work of the Lord today is getting the gospel out to this lost and dying world and making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's the work of the Lord. Now are you walking in it? Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Then we're to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery. That mystery has to do with God saving people like you and me and putting them in a body with Jews and Gentiles in that body, and their fellowship in that body of Christ, the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery. We're to make all men see. We're to bring all men unto the unity of the faith. Look in the chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4. He said there in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now watch it. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's the work of the ministry. And that's what you're involved in. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to the seed. That I know the work of the ministry is the work of the Lord. I know that preaching the gospel is the work of the Lord. I know bringing men into the fellowship and making all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery is the work of the Lord. Now I asked you, do you love the Lord? Is your works manifested by your love for Him in their marriage? It is quiet as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Eve. You know what your work is? You have a work. Your work involves people. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Folks, Paul said to Philemon, he'd heard of his love and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and each other. When people, do they know about your love that you have for the Lord by your work that you do? Now you say, well, I can't do what you do. It ain't how much you do. But there ain't a person in this building that can't do something to get the gospel out. You can say something here or there. Paul said, one planteth, another in water. But God gives the increase. You don't know what that one word to somebody might water the seed that somebody else might have planted. You don't know what that might be when somebody, the conversation arises at your workplace or somewhere and somebody says something and the door's open and you say, well, have you ever thought about Christ? You know, sometimes I remember a while back, before I retired at International Paper, out there, God worked with for years. It was on about this time, probably last year or four, yeah. And he come up to me, and I just backed the trailer in the dock. And he walked around there. And it was about what they call Easter time. And he began to talk about, he went to a service and he asked me. He said, does a man really have to really clean up before God will ever accept him? That's what he heard. He said, do you have to just get to where you can't? I mean, what he said was, do I have to quit smoking? He loved to smoke. He said, will God not save a smoker? Well, that opened the door. And I began to tell him about what Christ did for him. And I tried, had a piece of paper, and I showed the cross. Where he was born, when he's going to die, and how that Jesus Christ went and paid for all of his sins. And you know, it was like a light that went on. And I looked at him and I said, you want to be saved? God will save you right now, right here. If you'll trust that he died for you. Do you know he trusted him? And the last time I talked to him, I went up to him, I said, you know you still say, he said, I know when I got saved was right out there at the docks. And he said, the Lord saved me. Now folks, I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm just telling you that people are out there. And you don't know whether or not all you need to do sometimes is just water what's already been sowed. And you might be planting seed, but your work, the work of the Lord, is people. Look at Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my, what? Work in the Lord. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Corinthians. Who? They were his work. Look back in chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul's teaching these people. Paul had led them to the Lord. Paul had preached the gospel to these people. There was his work. You have a work to do. You have the work of the ministry. You're to be perfected. It's my job as a pastor, as a teacher, to perfect you, to teach you, to bring you into the knowledge of the truth so you can do the work of the ministry. But bless your souls, you're the ones that do the work of the ministry, not me. People's got it all wrong. They think the preacher, we got the preacher. The preacher does this. The preacher does that. No, the preacher brings you into perfection. The preacher perfects the most saints. But the saints do the work of the ministry. You have a work to do. Whether it's one, whether it's 20, there's a work. It might be your family. It could be the guy down there at the job somewhere. I think the greatest ministry is a one-on-one ministry. And I'm not talking about going down there and say, well, I can't do that. I'm not talking about being a fanatic about the thing. I'm talking about just using the opportunities as the Lord gives you. But you know what the problem is? People's ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. They're ashamed. They get embarrassed because they're afraid they're going to be rejected. And there's nobody wants to be rejected. Everybody wants to be liked. And it don't feel good to get rejected. It don't feel good if somebody doesn't like you. You feel you don't like that. That's flesh. And there's a fear in that. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. If you love the Lord, you're going to want to honor Him. Love is manifested by works. Look in Titus. Your works is people. It's things that you talk about. Titus, back in Titus. Notice Titus in chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I believe this man Philemon loved the Lord. Paul had heard about it. And he had love toward each other. He did work. Notice in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works? That's some, you want to be, you want to do things for the Lord. Looking down in chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principality and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Look in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, in these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Look in verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Folks, God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. God saved you. He blessed you, as Robbie was talking about in Sunday school. But He could have took you out of here when He saved you. But He left you here for a purpose. And it's not to take up and fill up space. He left you here to carry on the ministry. What if God took us all out the moment He saved us? Well, there wouldn't be nobody getting saved. If somebody didn't carry the message to you of God's work that He had for you. I think about that verse in John chapter 4. We love Him. In 1 John 4:19, I think it is, we love Him. Because He first loved us. I mean, you know what ought to be our motivation? Look in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what he says. In verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us." It bears us along. It's our motivating force. I asked you today, do you love Him? Does your works show that you love Him? "If any man love God, the same is known about Him. The people know that you love the Lord." You know, you've seen couples, and you just be around them and you see how much they love one another. You know what I'm talking about? People don't have to be around you long before they know you love the Lord. He's number one in your life. And you won't share Him. You want to get the message out. And there are two things that call that. Notice this thing. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'm gonna wind it down here. My throat is tightening up anyway. And that's why I'm trying to hold back. Because one little spin and I'm gone. It's stripped plumb out. But notice in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is in us." What is the love of God? Come down to verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, when we were unlovable, He died for us. God demonstrated how much He loved this world by sending His Son into this world. And make no mistake about it, God delivered Him up. According to Romans chapter 8, it says that God, who delivered His own Son, God did it. He did it as a sacrifice for you. We ought to share because He is love for us in dying on the cross. That ought to be our message that we're to get out. Notice this thing about, turn with me and look at God's love. Back in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus Christ came into this world. You know what the Lord did back here? He created a nation. He took a Hebrew man, and Abraham in Genesis chapter 14 is called a Hebrew. He's a Shemite. And Abraham, God took that one man and made a nation out of him. And God said, "I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." A promise. He said, "Them that bless thee, I'll bless. Them that curse thee, I'll curse." God formed a nation back here from Abraham, and he went there, and Abraham had a son. That son's name was Isaac, and Isaac had two sons. You know who they are? Jacob, Esau. And Jacob came, and Jacob had 12 sons. And out of those 12 sons, there was a seed there, and Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, there's the nation that was born and birthed. And God created a nation to bring His Son into this world. Why? Because He had a purpose, and He needed His Son into this world. Why did He need His Son into this world? Because God was going to bring heaven and earth back under the domain of His Son through people and not angels. He done used the serpent, the Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning, He done used him and the sons of God, and they rebelled against Him. So God's purpose was He's going to rule and reign through people. Flesh and blood. So He created a nation. But you know something? His purpose over here is the body of Christ. They're not earthly people. But He had to get His Son into the world to die for these sinful people back here, these sinful people over here, these flesh and blood people that are sinners. And God so loved this world that He gave His Son was the sacrifice. Now look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that verse always blows my mind. Do you know the man writing this verse said, according to the law, he was blameless? And yet in this verse, among whom we all had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Paul was a religion. Do you know what the biggest lust of the flesh today is? People try to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh is in a religious realm. Paul was not a honky-tonk, card-playing, cigar-smoking, dancing man out here. Paul was a religious man. Paul was a Pharisee. He said concerning the righteousness is in the law, blameless. Paul was a religious man. Paul kept the law. Paul did what the law said. And yet he said, I'm fulfilling the lust of my flesh and the desires of my flesh. There are people today that go into assemblies and they're fulfilling their lust of their flesh. And the desires of their flesh is in that denominational system. And they're trying to build that up. And they're trying to build this up. And so whatever that is. Well, I want you to know God Almighty today is putting together a body of believers, saving them by grace through faith plus nothing, and glorifying them, and His purpose for them is to rule out there someday. Now, so God needed a sacrifice. Look in there in verse chapter 4. But God, verse 4, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Even when we were dead in sins, God loved us and quickened us in Christ. By grace are you saved. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Well, what did you do? Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5, this is God's work. Do you know what God's work is? Well, it's right here. This right here is God Almighty's work. He died, He was buried, and on the third day, He come up. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. But ye therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. God said, walk in that love. You know what your good walk in good works? He said, you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, wherein you're to walk. And He said, walk in love. You know what He's talking about? Listen, folks, I walk in the knowledge of knowing that Jesus Christ went to that cross and died on that cross for all of my sins. And God today does not ever see anything in me that's unpleasing. Now, you got to think about that. God sees me in His Son. I'm in the body of Christ over here. Now notice He said there, He gave Himself an offering and a sacrifice. There's the thing. For a sweet-smelling Savior. You know what the sacrifice that brought odor? It's a death by fire. Jesus Christ went to that cross. That's why He came into this world. He shed His blood for the New Testament over here. And He also was the man. He's the lamb back here like Moses. But He's the man, Christ Jesus, over here. And Paul never refers to Him as a man. As a lamb. Peter does. Paul refers to Him as the man, Christ Jesus. A man died for you. A man took your place. A man was found guilty. A man was cursed by God for you. So what do you need to do? Believe it. Trust it. I believe that He died for me. I trust that as my salvation. You do that, and God will save you. That's the work of the Lord. God's work was the sacrifice at Calvary. He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. The work that God gave Him to do. The work of God is saving souls. The work of God is perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of God is sharing the gospel. The work of God is bringing people that are saved into the knowledge of what God has completely done for them. And the work of God is with people. And God left you here to do the work of the Lord. Now, is your work, your faith, your love spoken of? Or do they say, if he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. You ever heard that? Of course, I don't really care what they think. But folks, people ought to know that you love the Lord. All right, shake hands with one another, and we're glad you're here. Hope you got something out of it.